Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shari. It is Arliyam Beis Adar Aleph, the new man should be a man of Besorot Tovos and Simcha for all of Klal Yisrael. Even though it's not the Adar of Purim yet, it is Mishnechlas Adar Marba Besimcha. Halavai, we should so be zochet to see an increase individually and nationally and for our people and our land, in an increase in true Simcha for all of Klal Yisrael. Shabbi and Aliyah Neshama for Miriam Frul, Miriam Beschaim Yitzhak Allah HaHosham, Neshama should have a continuous Aliyah in the Merit of our Torah. Amen. So we finished page 153. I did want to just read something from Risa Rahman's book to sort of conclude last time's chapter. I was planning to read it last time, but we did not have time. At least we did finish the chapter last time. And to sort of sum up and conclude our learning about Shema, I hope and I wonder if, I know it did for me, actually, if last week's class helped any of us with our Kavana in Shema and added some insights into the Shema. It did for me. Just saying Shema this past week was a different approach and different kavanas, intentions than in the past, so I'll invite you to continue. Okay, so I just wanted to sum up with quoting Risa Rahman, Risa's husband, Chaim Haley Rahman, Zichrono Levracha, Shemin Kamdama, was murdered in the Har Nof massacre. However, he did not die immediately. He was the most severely wounded, and he spent 1 year. The attack was in Cheshvan, and he lived till the following Cheshvan. If you haven't read it, you really should go get this book and read it. It's on my website. It's recommended reading. It is highly recommended. It's art school. It's called Tara Namuna in Har Nof, A Year of Growth and Faith. She's very frank. She's very open. She's very honest. She talks about her nisyonos and her struggles, her amuna, her ups, her downs, some issues with her children. It's very, very powerful. But I thought an appropriate way to sum up our chapter, specifically, with all your heart, you shall have God, with all your soul, with all your stuff. I thought of that a few times this week, actually. With all your ma'od, and we also saw in Rashi, with each and every measure that he gives you. We said it in Halal. On the one hand, it's Kos Yishuas Esu V'Shem Hashem Ekra. When I have wonderful times, I lift the cup of salvation and I call on the name of God. On the other hand, Tzara V'Yagon Emsa. In my times of sorrows, difficulty, and pain, I call out in the name of God. So I'm going to quote from Risa Rahman in conclusion to our chapter, and then we will move on to the next chapter. But and this is, I'm quoting Mamish from the end of her book. But like all things in the physical world, this chapter came to a close. The distraction of having my mother-in-law and Steve, that is her brother-in-law, around another few days after the shiva was over. I didn't have to face the next turn in life, and now I did. Thursday morning, my first day of new normal, left me feeling like I had fallen off a ship without a life jacket. Now what? Who was I? What is my tafkid? Every day she talks about how every day of the year she would go every single day to the hospital and or rehab center wherever her husband was. That gave her life purpose. What was my tafkid now? My mission? No more would I wrap myself around the hospital, preparing my coffee, my food before I got to bed, packing up what I would need for the day in, day out. There was no out. My old job wasn't an option. Too many changes had taken place. Besides, a job which involved sitting intensely over a computer the whole morning and taking care of the kids didn't seem emotionally healthy for me anymore. I moped that Thursday. It's after the Shiva, and her mother-in-law and her brother-in-law stayed a little bit extra. Now she wakes up, and now what? And then it hit me. Nothing had really changed. My job now, like my job then, was to do Hashem's Ratzon, God's will, bless you. I needed to get up in the morning and accept this day from Hashem and hopefully use it properly. Once I kneaded these thoughts together, I got to a new level of tranquility. B'chol mida u'mida shemodei decha, we quote Rashi, ben b'mida tova, ben b'mida per'anus, with each and every measure that he measures out to you, whether it is a measure of tova, goodness, or whether it is a measure of per'anus. How do you translate per'anus? Troubles, difficulties, yeah? B'chol ma'odecha. We say this every day, three times a day. Once I kneaded these thoughts together, I got to a new level of tranquility. Remember what was b'chol levavcha? Your heart should not be divided over God. Later that same day, I was honored to receive a visit from Rebbetzin Razi Rottenberg, founder of Zelaze, an organization for widows and orphans. Above endless energy, there's no other way to describe a Risa, said the Rebbetzin. I was expecting a woman bent over and miserable. Look at you. I smiled. We talked a bit about the past year. I started to tell how hard it was to suddenly change gears after doing the same thing after such a long year. She interrupted me and she said, you know, there are women who have taken care of their husbands like yours for 8 years. I nodded and I shared with her my insight. Amuna, and that's really what Shema is all about. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem Echad. It's the declaration of God's sovereignty in our life. Kabbalas Olmachu Shemaim says Gemara. When we say it's Devarim 6:4, the introduction to Vahavta, say the Shema, we're supposed to have the intent that we are being Makabal Olmachu Shemaim. That doesn't mean we're accepting the yoke of divine kingship over ourselves. And I once read a beautiful verse. Why do you cover your eyes with your hand? A person's eye print is unique and a person's fingerprint is unique. Like now they have ways to pass through security at airports that scans your eyes. Because your eye is unique and your finger is unique. Fingerprint is unique and so is your eye scan print, whatever it will be called. So what do? You take the uniqueness of your hand and you cover the uniqueness of your eyes and you say, I am Mekabel Al Malchus Shemayim with the acknowledgement that my unique life is perfect for me. It's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted, with all the ups and all the downs. Nobody else has my life because it is unique. Like my fingerprint's unique, like my eye scan is unique. It is unique for me. And Risa shared with this Rebbetzin Razi Rottenberg. Amuna means waking up every day and accepting this day is from Hashem. And something that we say in Halal this morning, Zahayam Asa Hashem, Nagil V'nisvachaba. What does it mean? You don't say this is a great day, Nagil V'nisvachaba. You don't say it's a crummy day, Nagil V'nisvachaba. You say Zah. Zahayam Asa Hashem. Whatever today brings, it means this is the day that God has wrought. I will rejoice in Nagila. I will rejoice and be happy in this day. Nagila is Chabo. Whatever the day is, Zahayam Asa Hashem. Amuna means waking every day and accepting the days from Hashem. And therefore, Risa said, nothing in my life has really changed. She looked at me with her mouth wide open. Many months later, when I joined a retreat for widows, she told the woman what I said, and she said, it's like a GPS. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading the way, and I am following. I don't know if anybody saw on this last week's Mishpacha, the article by Ritzin Shira Smiles on Hamechi Mitzadei Gaver, Hashem prepares the footsteps of man, and that's really what she was talking about, that God prepares our footsteps for us. It's like a GPS. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading the way. I'm skipping. 1 second, please. You could read the whole thing when you get the book. Okay. Ironically, after Chaim, that's her husband, passed away, things quieted down considerably. There are a number of reasons for this. I believe that people felt this was a time for me to move on and not to have others constantly around me. People were so wound up by the daily stabbing attacks at the time of Chaim's death. It was in Har Nof. They were distracted with the pain in the entire Jewish people. Lastly, there was a lot more mystique regarding a woman who sat by her bedside of her husband in a comatose state than those who buried their husbands right away. Would he come out of it? How would he come out of it? How long would this go on? Months, years, people were interested. So how to finish up? And this is the end of her book. Perhaps with an encounter I had with a woman from the neighborhood a year after Chaim's passing, so 2 years after the attack. I don't regret anything about the year Chaim was in a coma, I told her. And he never recovered. He never woke up. If you read it, he was axed in the head. The brain damage was beyond severe. There was no, he did not wake up. And she said to this woman, I don't regret anything about the year Chaim was in a coma. I don't regret 1 minute I spent with him. And I don't regret any time I was away from him. Because if I was away from him, I knew it was for a good reason. She looked puzzled, but I meant what I said. Sadness, yes, but no regrets. That's where Amuna comes in. And that's how she closed the book. I want you to know I'm working on something. I didn't say this anywhere or to anybody, but sometimes here I think it's important. I don't know, I find I share different things here than in other venues. I'm working on something. Yeah, I know one thing I'm working on. One of the things I hope that I'm working on. I'm trying very hard not to say, I should have done this or I shouldn't have done that. I'm trying very hard. Not, you know, we do things or we don't do things, and then we say, oi, I should have done it like this. I mean, I find that I was saying it very often. And I find that for me, It expresses some degree of perhaps a lack of amunah. If I believe that everything's from Hashem, if he is hamechin mitzadei gavur, if he prepares the footsteps of man, I'm walking in his footsteps. Rabbi Melech Biderman says, before you make a decision, you have bechira chafshis. After you make a decision, that's Rashan Hashem. That's how God wanted. I'm working on it. It's not so easy. It's not so easy. It's hard. If you pay, maybe not you. It's something that I found. I was saying a lot. I should have done it this way. I shouldn't have done it that way. And then you start to regret necessarily. Then the Yetzer Hara causes you to beat yourself up. Why did you do it this way? You should have done it. I'm trying very hard not to say those words. And that's how Risa ends her entire book. And I really recommend. You should really cost $22, and you should go read it. But sadness, yes. Regret, no. Because it's really regret. I don't regret 1 minute of that year. When I was with him or whether I was not with him. And that's where Emunah comes in. If I believe that Hashem prepares the footsteps of man, then lo yelibcha chaluk al makom, my heart will not be divided. I will love God b'chol nafshecha with all my soul, afil no telas nafshecha. And finally, b'chol me'odacha, never mind with all your stuff, but b'chol mida umida shamode decha ben mida tova halavai v'shal bizocha ben mida per anus. And that's how I wanted to finish the chapter, which was called The Way of Avodah. Questions or comments? Yes?
Not to go off on tangents of that, but I do think that regret is an essential element of growth, because if you don't regret, how
okay.
do you do
so one second how do you... one second regret is not only an essential element of growth, one second please, it's one of the halachic stages of teshuva. Teshuva has, it's not just to talk about teshuva, there are halachic stages to teshuva. And the first stage, I add on a first stage, is self-awareness. After self-awareness, there's charata, which is regret, which is actually one of the things I'm going to speak about. We're probably not going to get to it tonight. But I'm not talking about like, okay, let me clarify. I'm not talking about if I speak Lashon Hara. I should say I should not have spoken Lashon Hara. I'm talking about... I shouldn't have gone to the supermarket now because now I'm 5 minutes late to get home. I shouldn't have made that for supper because this kid wants flea shakes. I shouldn't have put the laundry in because now I have to leave and I can't transfer the load. I found that I was doing that too much. I'm not talking about what you're talking about. Thank you. It's important to clarify. I don't want anyone listening to this online to have the wrong impression either. Charata is the first halachic stage, according to the Rambam and Hilchos Shuvah Maimonides, of repentance. You must regret when you sin, or you can never go like this. I shouldn't have spoken Lashon Hara. I shouldn't have done Zilzul or Memorim. I shouldn't have sinned with Masel V'Matam, but business. You're correct. I thank you, because I wasn't expressing clearly enough what I meant. I meant those small things. I shouldn't have taken my kid to the Slurpee store because now X, Y, and Z, and I didn't have time. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, very important, very important. You're correct. I was talking about something else. Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are also other things, like when you're talking about...
Wait. Talk louder.
Let's say you have a mother in a nursing home. Oh, I shouldn't have put her in the nursing home. I should have kept her.
Okay.
I should have made a place for bigger decisions. I didn't go to the wrong doctor. I should have got, like...
Correct.
Those kind of things also, you shouldn't regret.
Okay.
I'm doing the best I can.
On a much different scale, those are not averos. It's the same thing. Rav Pam, it's in the Rav Pam biography, actually. I think after, I was not planning to say this, I read the Rav Pam biography a number of years ago. But it was after, I believe, his Rebbetzin was Nifter, or it was after he was Nifter, his Rebbetzin said. No, I think he was Nifter. I don't remember, okay? And one of the children said, we should have, it's in the biography, not gone to the hospital or gone to the hospital, called this one and called that one. Rav Pam said, no, this is how Hashem wanted. The time was up. We should have done what we did. We're not talking about a virus because you're correct. Mm-hmm. That on a larger scale is not the same thing as I should have made fleishiks for supper because the child doesn't want milk. It's the same thing. Whatever the, obviously that requires a greater degree of emunah, but I find that that attitude of regret, when it's misplaced and not appropriate, takes too much brain time, mm-hmm. too much emotion, and ultimately I find it's the Yetzer Hara. I don't need to be focusing on that. I did it for whatever reason. Hashem wanted it to be that way, and now I need to move on. When it comes to averos, we must regret. Without regret, I can't move on. Yeah. Okay, important. Yes. You looked like you wanted to say something before
well,
Shani.
What you just said about moving on, not getting stuck. Okay. Don't get stuck in the mud. You did the best you could with the materials that you had at hand,
exactly.
And now we have to move on.
Exactly. I'm working on it. It's very hard. Maybe not for you. For me, I find that it's a challenge. I'm trying. Yeah.
I was just back from Paris as well, and I didn't plan my trip. I didn't like, this is what I want to do, and itinerary. And I said, I started you didn't accomplish what you wanted to do. I kept saying to myself, you should have planned, you should have done this, you should have done that. And I said, no. It's the HR telling me. The HR is telling me that I let it be organic. I let it just evolve instead of, that I was berating myself. It was my first opportunity in so many years. Why didn't I plan better? Why didn't I?
I took my daughter to the city for an appointment 2 weeks ago. I'm going to give one more example, then we're moving on. I took my daughter to the city 2 weeks ago for an appointment. Remember that Thursday when it was pouring sheets of rain? Mm-hmm. We took the LIR. She had an appointment. We had to walk a few blocks in the city, and I took this jacket. The hood's not big enough. So the whole time I'm like, I shouldn't have taken this jacket. I should have taken... Is that helping me to perseverate on the fact that it's okay, fine, you're going to get wet. You took the wrong jacket. I'm not going to melt. Need to move on. And that's really how Risa ends. We can't regret in life. We can't waste time and emotion and brain power. Minutes, precious seconds of avodas Hashem regretting something that happened, that regretting it's not going to help me change anyway. So next time, you'll take a different jacket. Posh, I don't need a klapan alchei because I took the wrong jacket. I'm going to be a little wet. Fine. Mm-hmm. Understand? Okay, so it's an eta to keep in mind, and she writes it so
succinctly.
I need to hear one person.
Succinctly.
Okay, fine.
However you say. We're all
getting tongue-tied
over
it
now.
That's a hard one.
Amen. It's a hard pronunciation, that's why.
It's
easy.
You know the word I mean?
Yes.
Let's go on. Page 154. If we're finished that paragraph, and no one has questions or comments, thank you.
It's like it's a hard C. The first C is hard.
It's two C.
Succinct.
S-U-C-C. Okay, let's go. Page 154. Please. Fear and love of God. 154 in the second chapter. So there are two aspects to serving Hashem. There is the Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Hashem, and Ahava Hashem. By the way, talking about B'chol Vavcha, B'chol Nafcha, B'chol Madecha, if everybody remembers that the Ahavta Rashi speaks about on, you shall love Hashem, your God. So Rashi says there are two ways to serving God, either through love or through Yira. And Rashi says, you can't compare the one who serves the master from love and the one who serves the master through fear. When it gets too hard, the one who serves from fear is going to run away. So that was also our exploration or learning of Shema was an appropriate introduction to this chapter. We've explained there are four general stages of avoda, of divine service. First of all, to remember the Creator. Zachar is a constant mitzvah tmiras. That's something else. It's interesting. One of the kids was homesick this week, and it was very busy. There was a simcha in the family, and someone was sick, and he couldn't go to school for all these days. And a few times I stopped. I promise. I thought, did I remember Hashem, over the past few hours? Sometimes you become so busy in what you're doing in life. I know we make our brachos, we daven, but I thought, did you remember Hashem? And I found that not every half an hour, as the Sefer recommends, for sure not, was I remembering Hashem. So even as we work on ourselves, it's not necessarily a level that is so automatic. Number one, everyone thinks, I remember Hashem. You know what? Challenge yourself. When your day is so busy, and you're shopping, and you're working, and you're cooking, I don't mean shopping for clothing then, I don't know, did you remember Hashem also, but when you're in the grocery and you're schlepping and you're cooking and you're laundry and people are coming and going, just stop me. Did I remember Hashem? Maybe you did all the time. It's also hard. Sensing his presence, or of Salvechik says, he learned the most important thing from his mother. Such a beautiful piece he has on Torah Simecha and Musa Avicha. He says, the fathers teach the generations how to observe, while the mothers teach the generations the feeling of Yehadus. Says, I learned the most important thing from my mother. Without her, I would have grown up a dry and soulless being. I learned to feel the presence of the Almighty and the pressure of his gentle hand resting upon my frail shoulder. Says, from his mother, Torah Simecha, what does the mother transmit? The father transmits halacha. The mother, Torah Simecha, transmits a feeling. She taught me there is a scent, a flavor, a warmth to Judaism. My mother taught me the most important thing of all, and without her I would have grown up a dry and soulless being. She taught me to feel the presence of the Almighty and the pressure of his gentle hand resting upon my shoulder. Do we sense his presence, and is that something we can transmit to others? If it's really palpable, if it's tangible, almost, I don't mean literally tangible, like this book. I mean, proverbially tangible. It's palpable. It's something we should be able to pass on to others. Do we internalize faith in divine providence? I think that relates very much to what I was just talking about. I should have, I shouldn't have, I wish I did, I didn't. Do we internalize faith in divine providence? If Hashem is mashgiach al hakol, and it's one of the animam means, animam b'mushleima, do believe that he directs all, that he's a mechim mitzadei gavra, then I need to internalize that faith. I need to stop saying, I shouldn't have gone here because I'm 5 minutes late today, or you did it. That's where God wanted you. And finally, oh, you know what's a perfect example? You took one road, you forgot check Waze, and you didn't take the other road. So now you're beating yourself up the whole time that you're stuck in traffic. You're here. You're here. So is it going to help to perseverate and keep telling the kids in the car, I should have gone the other way. Why didn't I go the other way? I can't believe I did. So what are you teaching your children, really? That you don't have patience, that you don't believe Hashem wanted you here, that you're focusing too much on something else. Do we internalize faith in divine providence? I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. I told you openly, it's something I'm working on. And finally, offering tefillah for each detail of life. Hashem, please help me know that wherever I am is exactly where you want me to be. It might not be easy. I might not be so happy. The oldest grandchild of Rabbi Nid Henkin, his grandson, Matan Hillel, is about to be bar mitzvah, Parshas Kedoshim. He was 9 years old when his parents were murdered. He's about to be bar mitzvah. And Rabbi Nid Henkin says, Ani misaperet lo midai yom sh'ani lo smicha. This was 6 weeks after the murders. Vani yadat shu sham lishma. I tell him every day, I'm not happy. You could tell God you're not happy. And I know he's there to listen. So do I remember that there's a creator? Sometimes when it's very busy, if I'm cooking for Shabbos and there's people coming and going and there's family from out of town and somebody's sick, and I'm doing laundry and I'm running to Shirem, do I even remember Hashem? Did I just stop in the middle? Do I sense his presence? Says Rav Salvejit, do you feel the Torah's imecha within yourself? Do you feel the gentle pressure of his hand resting upon your frail shoulder? Do I internalize faith in divine providence, or I do talk about the traffic for the whole half an hour I'm driving? No, what's the point of what am I doing? I'm here. And finally, do I offer tefillah for each detail in life? That means even when I'm lo smecha, do I tell Hashem? Hashem, this is hard for me. Hashem, this is wonderful. Hashem, thank you. Without exception, one must first develop an awareness of Hashem and his hashkacha. And this whole sefer for 4 years is about developing an awareness of Hashem. That means it's a whole lifetime of avodah. What, it's just us in this chabura? It's a whole lifetime for every person to develop an awareness of God and his providence. So by the way, it's two different things, because you should know it's not the same. There are people who say, and I'm not saying anyone here, but there are people who say, I believe in Hashem, but they do not believe in what? This is a real thing. It's a what? Exactly. Prati means what? Hashkacha over the details. Hashkacha means supervision over every detail of life. God created the world, now it runs on autopilot. I have no problem believing in God, but I do not believe in his hashkacha. So when the mechaber, when the author says, without exception, you have to develop an awareness of Hashem and his providence, that's not the same thing. It's possible to believe in God and not to believe in hashkacha pratis. Rechaman Tzame, Hashem save us from such a thing. Before acquiring the level of tefillah. Of course, you won't have the level of tefillah if you don't believe in Hashem and you don't believe in Hashkacha Pratis. And what are you davening for and what are you davening to? It's not a social activity. We're not talking about going to shul because everyone else goes to shul. We're talking about really davening like you mean it. But as to when one will be able to sense his presence, there's no absolute order. Each person is different. And that's, of course, true. We're all in the same realm of the same Garden of Eden. Eitz HaChaim B'toch HaGan. So Mordechai Kamenetsky says, I was lecturing in the Knowledge Day, and for some reason I was talking about... I don't want to go into the shir now, but I was talking about the Eitz Hadas. I think I mentioned in Parsha Kass this week as well. Anyway, so one very, very intelligent elderly gentleman, very learned, says there were two trees. Come, really? I'm at the Nalas and these people, can I know how our close angels, I cannot bring up the Eitz HaChaim right now. But the Pasuk says the Eitz HaChaim was Besoch HaGan. So Mordechai Kamenetsky says, why do you need to know the location of the tree, the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life? You have to know that Torah is Eitz HaChaim, the Machzik. And the Eitz HaChaim represents Torah, the tree of life in the Garden of Eden represents Torah. You have to be Betoch HaGan. You have to be within the realm of what is acceptable to Torah. You have to be within the proper mahalach. Once you're in the garden, you're in the confines of the, there's many different paths. Not everyone takes the same path. One person excels more in chesed. One person excels more in Torah. One person excels more in tefillah. One person is an accountant and he's honest and he is osek in helping people who can't afford to pay the account bill, let's say. I don't know. So there are different. One person is the baker and he helps people prepare for Shabbos. I just finished the book of Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Do you know that the only thing that came from out of the house was? Everything was prepared in the house. She didn't even have an oven. Rebbetzin Tamar Steinman did not have an oven. Everything was cooked on the stovetop. What was the only thing they brought from outside? Challah from the bakery. That was the only thing. That was the only thing. She baked once a year before Purim. She borrowed a neighbor's, like, some sort of countertop, I don't know, apparatus to have for Mishloach Manos. It was the only thing. And their machatunim, Rebbetzin Kanievsky, would send them the leftover Shabbos challah toasted every Motzei Shabbos from Lav Malka. Giants amongst us.
Oh my goodness.
So one baker, his avoda is to help people have for Shabbos. The Shimons were so poor that they couldn't afford wine. So he would go to the wine store and he would buy 3 cups of wine every Erev Shabbos. We have no concept of what this means. One for Friday night, one for Shabbos day, before Shabbos, and one for Kiddush. That's what he would purchase from the wine store. Every person is different. There's no absolute order to when you will sense his presence. I'm not talking about Rav Steinman with that. But because I started talking about Rav Steinman, saying we're betoch hagan. Everyone has a different koach with which you come to the centrality of Torah. Some people will first attain awareness of the Creator and His divine providence. Okay, so you have the idea of Zachar, which is a mitzvah. It's medius to always remember God. And His Hashgacha Pratis. I don't even know what time it is. Okay, and following which, they pray to Him. Following which they pray to Him, which then helps them feel His presence. So as long as you're aware that there's a Creator, so start davening. Once you start davening and working on your tefillah, you will feel Hashem more in your life. And that's absolutely true. The more you daven, the more you feel the Ribbono Shel Olam is with you. But we're not only talking about formal prayer from the Siddur 3 times a day. We're talking about the times when we speak to the Creator in our own language, asking Him for help. You'll feel Him more in your life. With others, the order is different. For some people, first they work on feeling Hashem, and then that strengthens their tefillah. So you know which came first, the chicken or the egg, that expression. So for some people, awareness of Hashgacha precedes tefillah, and for some people, tefillah precedes awareness of Hashgacha. Ultimately, though, the first thing is to know that there is a Creator. The next stage is, and if He is Hamechi Mitzvah Degaver, and He is Mashkiach Alokol, then He put me exactly where I need to be. The next stage of Avoda are, and here we go, Ahava, which is love, and again, we already introduced this in last week's parsha, and Yira. Yira is awe. So fear is sort of the wrong word, even though vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam, there should be some degree of fear, but awe. It's much more awe, or an appropriate word is reverence, that I'm saying right? To revere. It's not like lahavdil, like, when we say fear, lahavdil alfei avdos, like, we're fearful of anti-Semites, with good reason, given our long history. We are fearful of a political situation that may be changing. With regard to Hashem, there has to be a sense of awe, as much as we can fathom, which we can't fathom, and reverence. Here, too, there are two approaches that our teachers followed in terms of which comes first. So now he quotes Sefer Tehillim. Okay? It says on the Pasuk, and this is Kapitel Lamed Dalet of Tehillim, chapter 34. It's a Kapitel I say Lineder every day. It says in the Pasuk, and you know these words, Miha Ish Lechu Banim Shimuli. Ah, listen how it begins. He doesn't quote this, but listen, I'm going back a few Pasukim. Lechu Banim, come my sons, Shimuli, listen to me. What's the next words? You know this. Yiras Hashem alam dechem. What does this David HaMelech say I want to teach you? Yirat Hashem. Yiras Hashem. The fear of God, the reverence of God, the awe of God I will teach you. Miha isha chafetz chaim. You all know this. Who is the man who desires life? Oev yamim, who loves days, liros tov to see good. And then what's the answer? Guard your tongue from meira, bad, and your lips from deceit. And this next pasuk, 34:15, is the pasuk that the author of our sefer quotes. Sur meira, turn from bad. Va'asei tov, good do. What did I say? Good do. Do good. Bakei shalom v'radfehu. Seek peace. Radfeyu, it's not enough to seek, peace chase after. So I'm going to quote some sources from the Tehillah Mikros Gedolos. They came out with this like last year. I just want to show everybody. It's really beautiful. Ksuvim Mikros Gedolos. It's very nice. It's the same format as the art school. I don't work for them. Mikros Gedolos Chumashim. The typesetting is so clear.
Oh, so
and everything has nekudos. It's beautiful. It's on Tehillah. So I'm going to quote some. I just want to quote Sham Shafal Hirsch. Does everyone know why I'm quoting this Pasuk? Because it's on the bottom of page 154. Okay. It says in the Pasuk, turn from evil and do good. This pasuk, this verse, places turn from evil before do good. So if you say sur meira va'asei tov, yeah, so what are you thinking?
No, I'm just repeating the words.
Oh, okay. So turn away from bad and then do good.
First, it means it's giving you the right order.
Okay, so what would you say?
The right order is first to have the yira and then to have the ahava.
Okay, so first of all, that's exactly what the author says.
That's
it. So look in the book before I quote here, since you brought that up. One turns away from evil because of his ear. That's mamish. Did you read ahead? It's okay. I'm just asking.
No.
It's very nice. It's exactly what he says.
What
say it again.
We've been working on this in our main group for like, I don't know how long anymore. 10 years or so.
Oh, so one turns away from evil. Sur meiraz because of yira. You have a level of reverence or fear of doing bad. And he does good, aseto, because of his ahava. Very nice. So it represents two different stages or levels in our divine service. So Rav Sham Shafal Hirsch says, sur meiraz, keep away from evil. Do not merely do no evil, which is passive. It would be passive to say, I'm not doing evil. You have to turn away from it. You have to shun everything that can lead you to evil. It's two different stages, by the way. You could just sit there and say, everyone else is talking Lashon Hara. Everyone else is doing say bad. I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to do anything. Or you could get up and
walk away.
Walk away. That's not the same thing. One is passively not being involved in this conversation. And the second thing is taking action, very good, walking away. That's sur meira. Do not merely do no evil. Can't be passive. Keep away. Shun everything that can lead you to evil. So if I'm sitting at the table and everyone's talking about the person at the next table, what might strongly happen is even if I think I can passively sit there, I'm going to become involved. Make gedarim and siyagim, make fences and boundaries for yourself. Practice self-control. Abstain even from that which, though permissible in itself, borders upon the forbidden or would cause you to go astray. Very interesting. Every person has, I'm going to give you an example. A person who is an alcoholic, who has been sober for quite a while, okay? There's nothing inherently, intrinsically wrong with sitting at a table with 10 other people where they're all drinking alcohol and you're the only one who's not. You're not doing anything wrong. However, says Rav Hirsch, that's not enough. Why? Because when you give an example like that, it's clear that it's not enough. What is chances are it's going to happen? It's Thanksgiving and everyone's sitting around and they're spending a few hours and they're drinking one beer after another and he's sitting. And what's going to happen? It might not, but what's a good chance? Okay, so make your dharma and siyagim, make fences and boundaries, practice self-control, not by not doing bad, by abstaining from something which, though it may be permissible, borders upon the forbidden and could cause you to go astray. And furthermore, maybe here's another example. I'm only going to watch movies that are clean. Sneeze. You don't have anything wrong with them. Rahman al son in today's day and age. I'm only going to watch movies that are clean. Of no effect on my neshama, it's fine. Then a movie comes out and someone tells you the whole thing is clean, except it's 2 minutes. I'm going to look away. And then another show comes out. It's a great show. It has a great musar. It's an excellent lesson. It's 5 minutes. What's going to happen? It's hard in society today to only watch things that are clean. Why is that so hard?
Because there isn't anything clean.
Because if you look at the shows from the 50s, I Love Lucy, whatever they had back then, it can't be compared.
It can't
be compared. And We have to put siyagim, borders, everyone for their own selves, to know that even though this might be permissible, what will happen next? What are you saying?
We're saying you watch Shtisel.
Say it again.
Shtisel. The Israeli TV show.
It was so on Netflix?
Yeah.
It was just an article in one of the newspapers last week.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
One second. This was just in one of the local newspapers.
You're talking about the glasses, what your eyes should not see.
Whatever.
He gives his grandson the
right. I just read about this. No, I didn't. I skimmed the article and I saw it was either in the Five Times Jewish Homes or the Jewish Times. Because that's what we have. One second. It's some show on Netflix about Hasidim.
No anti-Semitism, it's the way it's supposed to be.
That's hysterical. The only reason I know about it is because I saw it was in one of the articles last week. I should watch it.
It was beyond. And the people, these Hasidish men, are not from.
I know.
And I went on to YouTube. I had to get their whole histories. It is beyond amazing.
Beyond.
It's like beyond.
It was just in one of the papers. This is just 1 second. The actors, 1 second. They're not Jewish?
They're Israeli.
Okay.
Subtitles.
I just saw this. Okay, let's go. Hysterical. I just saw this. Okay, ladies, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Ladies, come. Ladies, come. I wouldn't have known what you were talking about, but it was mamish in one of the papers. Okay, 1 second. So you need to make gedarim and siyagim, fences and boundaries, because even though something might be permissible, it borders upon the forbidden, it could cause you to go astray. Furthermore, once you are sur meira, what's going on now? Come, ladies. What's wrong?
Now I'm just discussing Mrs. Beisel.
What are they discussing?
Stop.
Okay, let's go. Furthermore, asay tov, do not neglect any opportunity to be good. It is not sufficient merely to desire what is good, but asay, you must not rest till you have brought it about, shaped it, and accomplished it. So this is also very important. Just like you can't be passive when it comes to not doing bad, you must turn away from bad. It's not enough to be passive when it comes to being good. In my head, I'm a Baal Chasad. In my head, I'm a kind person. In my head, I give tzedakah. In my head, I help other people. That's not asay tov. That is inside, I'm a good Jew, but I'm not doing anything. Lo hamidrash u'ikar ela hamaisa. It's not enough to learn about what you have to do. You have to do. So you see that sur meira and asay tov are actually two flip sides of the exact same coin. It's not enough to passively abstain from evil. You must actively run away from anything that will cause you to stray. It's not enough to think about doing good. You must not rest until you have brought it about, shaped it, and accomplished it. Do not hesitate. Do not delay when it comes to doing good. But remember, and this is also what our Sefer says, Asay Tov comes only after Sur Meira. And this is what you started to say, Malki. Asay Tov, do good, only comes after Sur Meira, straight for bad. Because on the most basic level, if you haven't left bad, but you're doing good, ultimately you're going to end up doing mitzvah, baba, veira. It's not possible. It means mitzvah, baba, veira, a command that comes about through sin. So for example, if you haven't left Sur Meira, so you're stealing from people, and you're giving tzedakah with the stolen money, so that's very nice. So what are you doing? You're stealing money, but you're so self-righteous because you're doing good. It has to be the proper order. King David started with, L'chu banim shimu li yiras al Hashem. I almost said Hashem's name is a pasuk. Yiras Hashem al amdecham. Come, my sons, listen to me. I will teach you how to revere God. There is an order. There is a process. You must actively leave your bad in order to do good. Otherwise, guard yourself against doing. Oh, Rav Shem Sharfal says a mitzvah baba veira. Do not seek to use evil means to attain an end that's good into itself that comes about through averos. Atonement for averos can only be made by refraining from sin and making amends wherever possible. Once you have done justice to your duties towards God and you are in full accord with the law by shunning evil. You have to shun evil in thought, word, and deed. Thought, word, deed. And by doing good, only then, what's the end of the pasuk? Sur meira v'asei tov. Bakei shalom v'radfehu. Only if you leave bad and set up gedarim and siyagim, only if you are active in not doing bad or allowing yourself to come into the environment where you might fail, you actively pursue good thought, deed, word, and action. Only then, in this order, can you do bakei shalom v'radfehu. What kind of person of shalom are you? Going back to the example of someone who's stealing but giving charity with the stolen money. So what are you doing? Are you a person of peace? Are you a person who pursues peace? Are you a person, shalom is also the word for shleimus, or shalem. You're not a whole person. You're not a complete person. Seek to have peaceful relations with your fellow man. Radfehu, pursue it. Do not let it elude your grasp. If you feel shalom is about to leave you, persevere, even at the risk of personal sacrifice. Okay, 1 second. Last line of reverse on this pasuk. Whenever it is a matter of sur me rava seitov, we must be ready, if necessary, to chance the opposition and hostility, even of an entire world. And we must be ready to stand alone. To stand alone with God.
Ooh, that's the story of my life.
Okay. Good for you. Good for you. What courage.
Oh, no,
what bravery. And what inspiration. I'm going to repeat. And Nancy says this is the story of her life. How inspiring. What a lesson. I must ask her for all of us. Whenever it is a matter of sur meira, stray from bad, asay tov, actively do good, we must be ready, if necessary, to chance the opposition and the hostility even of an entire world, and to stand alone with God. And our only allies will be God and our sense of duty. And this is, what did you say?
I said, where are we going to go? It's happening now.
I spoke with that on a Monday share at length. We have to be, I spoke with that on my Monday share at length. Mm. If necessary, to chance opposition and hostility, even of an entire world, to stand alone with God and our sense of duty, for those are our only allies. And he who can manage to do such a thing and live in such a way individually, kol hakavod. Wait. Let's just try and finish this paragraph. Okay, 1 second. It's only 9:16. Okay. It says in the pasuk, turn from evil and do good. This pasuk places turn from evil before do good. One turns away from evil, this is what you said, because of his reverence, fear, awe, and does good deeds because of his ahava, 155. The Ramban writes, and I looked up the Ramban. By the way, the footnote is incorrect. To the best of my knowledge, it says in the footnote that it's from Shemos 28, which is Parsis Yisro. No, what does it say, 27? It's 28. Parachav Pasuches. Ramban writes, the aspect of Zachor, remember the Shabbos, relates to the positive commands. And I looked up the Ramban, and this is what the Ramban says. It's an outgrowth of Ahava. You want to do because you love God. Shamor, guard the Sabbath day to keep it holy, is the negative commands. You want to guard not to do because you revere God. It makes perfect sense. You want to do by honoring Shabbos with positive commandments, mitzvahs asay, because you love Hashem. You don't want to do what is forbidden because you revere the Almighty. That do not do, shamar, guard, comes from a sense of yira. One is apprehensive lest he do something against his master's wishes. I just want to finish this paragraph with you. According to this system of correspondence, the pasuk from Tehillim that we just have been speaking about, Surah Meirav Asay Tavakisham Rav Feyu, places yira, turn from evil. Surah Meirah would be Yiras Hashem. Why do you turn from evil? Because you're in awe of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because I revere God. Because I'm afraid. Because he told me, don't do this. So I turn from evil. Before Ahava. What's Ahava? Asay Tov. Why will I do good in life? Because I love Hashem. Based on this order, many of our great leaders taught that Yira should precede Ahava. So in, and we're going to, I want to quote next time from Devarim Perek Yud, where we clearly see that Yira is one of the first stages in Avodas Hashem. We should have a Chodesh Tov, a Chodesh of Simcha, Besuros Tovos, and a good Shabbos. Thank you, ladies.